All right, well, we're going to take a look at the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what he did to prove to the world that he truly was raised from the dead. And so this continues on our subject, our perfect redemption, the resurrection. If you remember last Sunday, not too many days ago, I shared about living the power of the resurrection. You know, that power that it took to raise someone from the dead, there's no greater power that you can find that's ever been exhibited than that which raises the dead to life. And there's a great verse, which was the key verse, and that's Romans 8:11. So I'm kind of sharing this as a reminder. And that verse says in Romans 8:11, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, all right, the spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell where? In you, okay. He that raised up Jesus from the dead shall also quicken. Now, what is that? I'm reading the King James. To make alive your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwells in you. So we're born again of God's Spirit. That Spirit in you is the Spirit in the sense of the power that's available to us that raised Jesus from the dead. Now, is that pretty powerful? Yes. Yeah, so what a resource we have. What a great resource. You know, we might have $1 million in the bank, and if we do, we're kind of, hey, I'm rich. I got plenty of bucks here. Well, I've got Christ in me. I've got the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. That's quite a resource there. So
speaking in tongues doesn't just strengthen the inner man. It also quickens your mortal body.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and that's the proof, talk about it, the evidence, the physical evidence, and God would always do that. He would provide physical evidence for the spiritual realities. And what a beautiful spiritual reality of being born again of God's Spirit and then having the proof of that in the physical realm, speaking in tongues. Well, we're getting off a little bit, but we're going to look at that a little bit more on Sunday. But let's take a look at the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the events that occurred and what God recorded in his word. There's obviously there's a couple gospels here and some notes that I want to share with you. So I kind of bear with me as I share different resources with you. And we jump around in the Bible here, okay? But first of all, I want to share with you 1 Corinthians 15:17. And if you don't know how important the resurrection is, this verse pretty much nails it. And it says, and if Christ be not raised, your faith, your believing is vain, empty. You are yet in your sins. You have not been redeemed.
What was it, doctor?
That was 1 Corinthians 15, verse 17. So the proof of the resurrected Christ was of vital importance to recognize that, yes, he truly was raised from the dead. You know, they don't... It didn't happen, and they passed the word around, and that was the only communication about his resurrection. No. There were 40 days that he was on the earth in his resurrected body that he showed himself to a number of different people. So we're going to go to John 20 to start with. And in the Gospel of John, chapter 20, we're going to pick it up in verse, oh my gosh, 15. and we're jumping. We could start at verse 1, but this is Mary Magdalene coming to the tomb early in the morning, very early in the morning. Jesus rose probably Saturday late afternoon at some point. He was gone, and she was there the next morning, 12 hours later roughly, and checking things out. And so verse 15, Jesus said unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" You know, she thinks he's the gardener. Yeah. She's supposing him to be the gardener. Saith unto him, "Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said unto her, "Mary." She turned herself and said unto him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Master." Jesus said unto her, "Touch me not." I'm sure she was so excited she wanted to give him a big hug. And he said, "Don't touch me, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." So he's communicating to her. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples and said, had the disciples, that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. So here she is telling them, "I've seen the Lord. He's up. He's alive." So
you think they believe her?
Well, Mark 16:11. Who can share that? I think that's the verse we want to.
My glasses.
Who's got 16:11? What does that say?
And they, when they had heard that he was alive, and seen of her, believed not.
Believe not. You know, they heard what she said, but they did not believe her. That's too bad. Too bad. Yeah. So now there's some other events that occur, and we're going to, you know, we could read on to verse 19, but there are some things that happen really between them. Okay, and you'll see this in the Gospels. They'll maybe not be true to the chronological order, because some Gospels say some things, other Gospels say other things. They don't contradict, they're just adding information where the other Gospel might not say it. Okay, so Luke 24. Luke 24, we'll go there, verse 13, and this is a record, perhaps the longest record of him showing himself being raised from the dead, and it's these two guys that are going to the village of Emmaus, verse 13. "And behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. So some people say around 7 miles. Yeah, that's kind of what they say. "And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were holden," in other words, they didn't recognize him to be the Christ, "that they should not know him. And he said unto him, What manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and you are sad?" So, these are some events that occurred with these two men on the road to Emmaus. And what I want to do is be able to share some notes with you out of Jesus Christ, our Passover, as we move through some of these records, and there's some good insights shared in light of this. Okay, yeah, let's continue to read a little bit more. So we're going to Emmaus, a small village about 7 miles from Jerusalem, was the destination of these two men walking from Jerusalem. When Jesus in his resurrected body joined them and began conversing with them, they did not recognize him. Verse 17. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another? You're sad. And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which is a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. You know, and this is a record in here. Dr. Earle writes, little did Cleopas know that Jesus Christ was the one walking with him. They had not really understood and believed the prophecy of his resurrection. The women remained unconvinced when they first saw the empty tomb and heard the angel in the sepulcher. Finally, they believed after seeing two more angels at the sepulcher. So these are some events that occurred right in that first day. The men treated them as if they were talking nonsense. Now Cleopas and another disciple on their way to Emmaus conversed with Jesus face to face, knowing they were oblivious to the reality that it was he. Jesus let the conversation develop. This disciple related to Jesus how 3 days had passed since Jesus of Nazareth had been crucified, and how, with the passage of days, they had given up hope. That is the reason these two men were sad and disillusioned as they walked to Emmaus. 24:21. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. Besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre, and when they found not his body, they came saying that they had seen a vision of angels, which said, he is alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it, even so as the women had said, but him, Jesus, they, Peter and the others, saw not. The two disciples had been with the other men when the women had come that morning telling their story. They had been among those who did not believe. In verse 24, reference is made to certain of the disciples who looked into the report of the women about the empty tomb. This could not refer to the visit of Peter and other disciples. And that's another reference point. So these two disciples on the road to Emmaus still had not comprehended or believed that Jesus had been raised from the dead. The stranger listened to them, finally reproved their unbelief. Stranger being Jesus. Verse 25, then he, Jesus, said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? To enter into the glory refers to Jesus Christ entering into God's presence and presenting himself as the first fruits from the dead. Verse 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he, Jesus, expounding unto them, the two disciples going to Emmaus, in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. That must have been quite a story time, huh? Man, oh man. Here, you know, people didn't believe that he was alive. And the women saw him. There's a record that we haven't looked at yet, but it says Peter saw him as well in another record. So people have seen him, but they're still not believing. And so here he spends time with these two regular disciples, and he really opens up the word to them, the scriptures concerning himself. And in the book here, what a fellowship that must have been. Imagine Jesus Christ teaching just two disciples everything in the Old Testament pertaining to himself. Jesus went through the scriptures and pointed out the truths concerning the Messiah. Despite all this, the two men did not recognize who the man was with whom they spoke. Verse 28. And they, the three of them, drew nigh unto a village where they went, and he, Jesus, made it as though he would go further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. So he goes in there with them. Again, God's word spends more time on this resurrection appearance than on any other. Jesus Christ was the only person who has ever been raised from the dead to everlasting life. Yet he did not appear to men of great wealth or power. He did not appear to any kings. He did not appear to any of the recognized leaders of the religious establishment. Status high or low in one's earthly life is not a basis for receiving the greatness of God's word and blessing. Good point, huh? Jesus Christ appeared to two simple believers who were having a difficult time understanding the events surrounding the death of the man whom they had believed would redeem Israel and thereby be their Savior. Verse 30, And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake and gave it to them. And their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Whoop, gone. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? They must have had a great heart of humility to receive from Jesus, this stranger. And yet there it was. Pretty wild. Well, they rose up the same hour, verse 33. And returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them. And they were saying, The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And it mentions, and just so you know, 1 Corinthians 15:4-5, or verse 5 says, And he was seen of Cephas, then the 12. So there was a time that Peter did see him. So things were coming together. He was showing himself to different people, shows himself to these two guys, teaches them the scriptures of the Old Testament about his prophecy of his coming. And now they believed and they went back to this group of disciples to say, Hey, he has indeed been risen. Pretty wild, huh? Wow. Well, let's go back to John 20 and verse 19, okay? Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And when they had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. So now they're starting to believe. Finally, they're getting it. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Okay. And when he had said this, he breathed And the word, the King James says he breathed on them. Well, the word them is italicized, shouldn't really be in there. And really, the text is he breathed in. He breathed in and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Spirit. He was teaching them about the gift of Holy Spirit that would come, which we know happened on Pentecost, right, on the day of Pentecost, which was how many days from the resurrection, or from 50 days, Pentecost, 50 days. So he's teaching them. They didn't receive it necessarily then, but he's teaching them about this Holy Spirit, and they would breathe in. And what happened on the day of Pentecost? It was a time of heavy breathing, right? Yeah, mighty rushing, mighty wind. So this all fits beautifully. Pretty neat. So, whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. But Thomas, good old Thomas, right? One of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I see the hands and the prints of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Verse 26. Okay, verse 26. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas was with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut. You know, I mean, why does the word say the doors being shut? I mean, well, the doors were shut, but he somehow got in, right? So this new body, the spiritual body that he had, was not limited to physical doors or anything. Barriers, yeah. It's pretty wild. So the word makes a point there. And stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Very loving. Peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, reach thither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither my hands, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. So there was a physical aspect of Jesus that could be felt. Interesting to note. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. And all this is an expression of, oh my God, like we say sometimes. And he is like flabbergasted. Verse 29, Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Pretty neat, huh? Mm-hmm. And then, verse 30, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. So, you know, as much as there is written in the book about his resurrection in the various gospels, there was much that was done that's not written in here. So he made a point of proving that he was raised from the dead. Many other signs that he did in their presence. But, verse 31, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Isn't that fantastic? We have life through his name because we believe that God raised him from the dead. So, interesting records in God's word proving the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, that's not all there is. And I'm going to save the rest for next Wednesday, I guess. We'll take a look at chapter 21 if you want to look ahead a little bit, because there's other events that he conducted with them, hanging out with them, eating with them. And there's a lot we can look at in light of this. Let me take a look here in Luke. Let's look at 24. I should have read this before, but this is okay. Luke 24:41. And this follows where he shows his hands and feet. Verse 39, 24:39. Behold my hands and my feet, and it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. So he had a unique body. It wasn't all just spirit, but it was something very unique, and he could be touched. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, "Hey, you guys got anything to eat around here?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish and of a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. So this new spiritual body, unique body that he had after the resurrection, could be touched. You could eat with it. It likes fish and honey, among other things, maybe. And he said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." Then, verse 45, "Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures." And that's so neat. "And said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send you the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." So they would wait in Jerusalem at this point, and that Pentecost obviously came later on after he ascended up after 40 days. So pretty neat. Jesus made sure they got it, that they knew that he was truly raised from the dead. And it'll be interesting to look at more of this new body in Christ, this new spiritual body that we'll get at the gathering together, because we'll have a body like unto his body when we're gathered together. Well, that's it for tonight. I thought, it's still pretty early, so I thought we could pray together a little bit. And